Got this text recently. Bob, there was a good story on Frontline on PBS, Children of Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley must be aware of the organizations that were showcased. They were rescuing Ukraine children taken by Russia, and then another group would interview the rescued children to establish proof of war crimes by Putin. Well, let's ask Joe. What's happening, Joseph? What's the situation today in Ukraine, and have you heard about this?
Yeah, well, good afternoon from Lviv, and we've had some calm throughout most Ukrainian cities these past 24 hours away from the front lines. And yeah, indeed, the story of children, there's many stories of what the Russians have done to children in this time. Firstly, killing them in attacks on residential buildings, but especially in the occupied regions, such as, you know, the city of Mariupol that was just almost totally destroyed by Russia, and how they've basically kidnapped children, brought them deep into Russia. And it's almost it's hard to fathom, and I think that's part of the reason why it's not a regular and big topic. But the Russians have a long history of moving people, of displacing people, and especially doing so with children and re-educating them. Today is the day of the Crimean Tartar flag, so the people of Crimean the Tartar people of Crimea celebrate their flag day. It's a pale blue banner with an upside down trident. And the Tartar people, many times throughout history, have been removed from their homeland in Crimea, where they lived for centuries, by the Russians. So by Stalin, under Stalin, this happened. They were deported into far-flung places of Russia. Many of them came back in the 1990s. And then when Russia took Crimea, many of them had to flee once again, and families were separated during that time. But we have this, especially in the occupied regions of mainland Ukraine, many reports, like whether the kids were orphaned during some of those attacks on Ukrainian cities or simply taken from their families. And so this is another part of it is in occupied regions of Ukraine, Russia now, of course, controls the schools, and in the Ukrainian language is removed. And the Russians begin to indoctrinate the students. And if you look at the Russian textbooks, they're not so different from like the Palestinian textbooks you'd see in Gaza, encouraging kids to be, to be militant. And so this is yet another difficulty that Ukrainians face. Meanwhile, today, there was, in the past 24 hours, there was a big prisoner exchange. About 90 Ukrainian defenders were returned from Russian captivity. 52 of them were captured in the early days, early weeks of this war in the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol. And so they finally were released. But very interestingly, among the Russians that Ukraine released was a Russian Orthodox bishop. There were scenes today of that bishop returning to Moscow and being greeted by the Russian patriarch. It's a reminder that the Russian propaganda is spinning that Zelensky is trying to shut down religion. Ukraine is a very religious and diversely religious country. For example, here in Lviv, I mean, there are churches on almost every block, and they were filled on Sundays and other days. But the Russian Orthodox Church, with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, it was suppressed, and then Stalin brought it back. When he realized he could use it as a tool to control the people. And ever since then, the Russian Orthodox Church has been an arm of the Kremlin. And so this is more evidence of that today. As soon as that Russian Orthodox bishop from Ukraine was exchanged during this prisoner swap, he went to meet the patriarch in Moscow, who's blessed Putin's war. And just another reminder that that's not really, they don't really act like a church. They act like an arm of the Kremlin. And as I was thinking about this, during the Soviet times, especially here in Lviv and Western Ukraine, most people here are Greek Catholic, and it's this unusual hybrid. It's sort of Eastern in style, but it's part of the Roman Catholic Church, and that was illegal up until 1991. Gradually, I mean, they stayed underground, and gradually in the 80s, they began to get bolder. But that religion was illegal because it was not approved by Moscow. And the same thing happens when Russia occupies territory. They ban religions, or they destroy churches that are not approved by the regime. And but I was wondering today, because the leader of the Greek Catholics in Ukraine, he's considered a patriarch, and it's strange that Pope Francis has not made him a cardinal, because it would seem that that would give additional stature to that church during this difficult time. And that has been a, you know, people here in Western Ukraine, they're loyal to the Pope, but they're a little frustrated that they don't get total respect on that. So just looking at some of these religious angles as we look at this prisoner transfer, as that Moscow, as a Russian Orthodox bishop returns to Moscow today.
Hmm. Joe, we talk a lot about how Russia's weapons supply is so much greater than Ukraine's. And there's a new report by a London-based think tank out today that says Western sanctions have failed to undermine Russia's weapons production. Moscow has even managed to ramp up the manufacturing of key weapons. Why is that?
Well, I think this is, you know, this... And when we ask this question, and it's the same when we ask the question, like, will there ever be F-16s here? I think there's a deeper underlying question. Do these leaders in the West, especially Washington, do they really want or believe in Ukrainian victory? Do they think that Russia can be defeated? Or do they still believe in this Henry Kissinger idea that Russia is necessary in the global equilibrium? And I think, if you look, I mean, and this is when several weeks ago, Washington announced a new round of sanctions. Not a single reporter, as far as I can tell, and I think I did mention this last week, but not a single reporter asked the White House the question, how come the U.S. Treasury Department still gives waivers to 10 Russian banks simply because they do business in the Russian oil industry? So if you're a Russian bank, you're sanctioned and you can't do business, in the civilized world, unless you deal in the energy sector, which is the most precious and important sector to Russia. That's strange. And I think, maybe there's a reason for it, but it's weird that no one even asked that question. And I think that question needs to be asked, because then we can find out how serious, when Western leaders say they support Ukraine, is it talk? Or do they really think that this is possible?
We need to get you at one of those press conferences to ask some questions.
I don't think under any administration that would be permitted.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you both.